Hope you had a good weekend. We are entering the last week of July, and of course, the start of the Queen City X on Wednesday, and a long weekend is straight ahead of us here right now. It's Greg Morgan with you on a Monday morning where Rider fans seem happy that we got a victory. Would be a lot happier if it wasn't so dicey in the final minutes there, but man, that defense was strong. 8 sacks, pretty incredible showing there, and at the movies, the Fantastic Four had an incredible weekend. More than $118 million in North America made, another $100 million internationally. That's good for Marvel's biggest opening weekend since last summer's Deadpool and Wolverine. And Fantastic Four is on over at the IMAX, so I thought maybe we'd check in on the scene at the Saskatchewan Science Center and Kramer IMAX Theater, given that so many of you are on vacation and your kids are out of school looking for things to do. Ryan Halata from the Saskatchewan Center. Back again this morning. Welcome, buddy.
Hey, thanks so much for inviting me back.
Before we get to what's currently going on, I wanted to ask you about this new Christopher Nolan movie, The Odyssey. Doesn't come out for a whole year yet, but you're already sold out for next summer's opening weekend?
Yeah, isn't that wild? Just an entire year in advance. And there are 26 theaters that are going to be showing The Odyssey on film that were able to put 4 shows on sale a year in advance. All the tickets are gone, so it's pretty remarkable. Great marketing move for the movie. Lots of people are talking about it already.
And what is the movie about?
You know, I don't know anything more than what I read on the internet, but it sounds to me like it's his retelling of the Odyssey. So I'm really excited to see that. We did have about a 30-second teaser in front of Superman at the IMAX a couple of weeks ago. You know, it really didn't give too much other than, seeing some of the actors and seeing that it was, full screen, floor to ceiling on our screen.
Ryan Halata from the Saskatchewan Science Center and the IMAX is here. Ryan, I remember with Oppenheimer, it was exclusively shot at 70mm. And that was special because we have the screen that fits that 70mm IMAX action, don't we?
Yeah, that's right. Our screen has what's called the 1.43:1 aspect ratio. So it's 40% more picture than you would see at sort of like a standard movie theater. Instead of the picture just being, a letterbox, it goes all the way from the floor to the ceiling.
And people come from far and wide. I remember Oppenheimer. You had a lot of from other provinces, some from the U.S.
Yeah, absolutely. We saw some tickets already just for those 4 shows. Some people coming from out of town. Nothing like, Finland or whatever yet like we had for Oppenheimer. But we definitely started to see some of that. And, what really drives that for us is just how unique our theater is. As I mentioned, there's only 26 theaters on the planet that are showing The Odyssey on film. People are looking for the best possible experience, and that often is on IMAX film, and we're happy to be in the ranks of that.
This week, what's playing now?
Yeah, we are playing Fantastic Four right now, getting really good reviews. And then you mentioned F1, and that's actually going to be back in August for a few screenings. So extra little bonus for you.
Well, my all-time favorite movie is Jaws, the 50th anniversary we've been celebrating this summer, and it's back.
Yeah, August 28th, remastered for IMAX. We've got a whole week worth of shows of that, so we're really excited about that. Tickets are on sale, and they're selling really well, actually, as well.
I'll be there. Hey, I just saw a new trailer for a new Prince movie, and it's exclusively for IMAX, too. What's this, and when is it?
Yeah, we have actually about 6 movies coming out, sort of like in late August and early September, the Prince concert movie. It's great just to keep an eye on our website to see all of the details for those, because there's going to be a lot of sort of like really unique one-off, 1 or 2 day runs of things the rest of the summer.
Ryan Halata from the Saskatchewan Science Center, the Kramer IMAX Theater. What has been, of the blockbusters, the biggest draw this summer so far?
It was F1, actually. We were busy right up till the very last late night screening, well over 100 people per show on average, really, really busy, which is great. It was such a fantastic movie and film for IMAX, and of course having it in IMAX with all those big stars, and just a really well done movie as well.
Let's go next door to the Saskatchewan Science Center. What's going on there?
So we are still have Phenomena. That's our visiting exhibition here over the summer. It's all about the science of special effects and illusions and perception. There's some really large scale interactives in it. This one, there's this tunnel. It's like, 12 feet long and about 10 feet high. And you walk through it, it feels like you're spinning around in a circle, even though you're standing completely still. Lots of really cool things to see in Phenomena. And that's here until Labor Day.
Any remodeling going on around the Science Center, the IMAX, or is it all shipshape right now?
You know what? We're always trying to improve our guest experience. One of the things that I'm really excited about in the Wild Saskatchewan exhibit that's on our second floor, we have an aquarium in there that hasn't been used for quite a long time. And we are just starting a complete redo of that. So really pumped about that. This is the aquarium that you can actually go underneath of it and you can stick your head up inside of it. And then the fish actually will swim around your head. We've got parts on order for that, and we're really excited to have that back in the rotation for all the people that are coming to see us. So that will be done by the end of summer.
Awesome. Good catch-up, Ryan. I appreciate your time.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Coming up to 7 o'clock here, it's Greg Morgan with Andrew Shepherd, filling in for Kevin Martell, taking the week off. Shep, just back from your own vacation out east. I suspect it was to go check your Jays out.
I wish I could have gone to a Jays game. We were watching most of the games while we were there, and I didn't realize that after that game, someone pointed out they have the best record, not just in the American League East, not just in the American League, but in all of baseball. I'm excited.
You did not anticipate this at the start of the season, happy for you that you're soaking it all in. How was your East Coast trip, though? Was the weather great?
Yeah, it was hot. It was humid. I think there was a day there, or a day or two, where it was like 26, 27, feels like 37, 39. it was ridiculous. I had some, so I went there. I have a lot of family who lives there, and went to their cottage in Southampton, which is along Lake Huron, and had a couple beach days with my daughter, and man, she just loves the water. And then also went to a wedding, my aunt's wedding. So yeah.
All right, the countdown here is on for a number of things. Locally, of course, the Queen City X starts Wednesday, so I know a lot of young kids are looking forward to that. But we're also counting down to Friday. This is the tariff deadline, and let's first focus on what's going on in our own backyard, because there's some sort of U.S. conference in Saskatoon. Is this anything to do with the tariffs?
A little bit. No, this isn't here because of that. It's I think, an annual Midwestern Legislators Conference, but there are a lot of U.S. politicians from 11 states here. Just kind of a building relationship, working on common problems, exchanging information, stuff like that. They're getting a big tour of Saskatchewan. The Saskatoon area is where it's being held. They toured a potash mine and a farm over the weekend. They're talking about U.S. trade. So it is coming up. There's a session on U.S. trade, but also like AI, energy, agricultural innovation, even like the child welfare system. And then Stephen Harper, former prime minister, is going to be speaking later this morning, I believe, at the breakfast. There's also things like a state dinner at the Ramey Modern, I think, tomorrow.
We checked in with Environment Canada because there is a little haze in our forecast. What are they telling us today? Is it going to be as irritating as it was last week?
Yeah, if you were on the webpage that shows the air quality index yesterday, it had showed that it was expecting to be an 8 today. That has since changed. We called Environment Canada. They told us it doesn't look like it's going to be too bad. It's maybe going to go up to a 6 today. But the worst of it's going to blow into Manitoba, Regina, and Saskatoon. Not expected to be part of any weather alerts on this.
Obviously, it's from the wildfires up north. How is that battle going now?
Yeah, they're still burning. 60 wildfires burning in the province this morning, 12 of them not contained, and still threatening communities. Ramsey Bay had some evacuation alerts orders last week, and the Buell Fire, that's the one in the northeast corner of Prince Albert National Park. It's inching closer to Ramsey Bay, just 4 kilometers away now from the community, so we're keeping an eye on that. And a couple other fires threatening Montreal Lake, 12 kilometers away from there. And I think it's the same Buell Fire, is still about 30 kilometers from Waskasu, so not really getting too much closer there.
Okay, that's Andrew Shepherd from the 980 CJME Newsroom. More from Shep coming in just a few moments. CJME News Time now is 6:58. Welcome to the start of a brand new work week, and the good news is August Long is next on the horizon, and the Riders won, of course, Friday night. I know some of you suggesting a little more Killer Instinct would be nice so that you weren't holding your breath in the final minutes, but listening to the post-game show of the Green Zone, too, some of the fans called in and thought Cody Fajardo's return was actually quite impressive, but grateful the rest of the team sucked.
Get to start, get to your finish, and as I've been saying for years, thank you, defense. By the way, Cody Fajardo had a hell of a game. 360 yards, got himself sacked 8 times, brother. And you know what, guys? We barely won with all that abuse that he took. So I think somebody needs to sit Mark Mueller down and teach him how to close a game on when we get the lead to bury our opposition, because this is going to matter as we head into the playoffs. Because as we know, guys, if the last couple of weeks hasn't been evidence enough, any team can come back from just about any deficit.
I'm a big Cody Fajardo fan still. I loved him when he was with us, and I thought he played a heck of a game tonight. And I know that might go against what some people are thinking. I just think that his passes were on point, and he's still looking real good. I think our defensive front seven made it hard for them, and their offensive line is not very good. I think, once again, 6-1. How can we complain? Big kudos goes out to Cody tonight, and big kudos goes out to our front seven for the job they did containing him and containing everything that Edmonton tried to throw at us. They try to do everything, but good teams find a ways to win, and that's what we did tonight. 10-6-1. Let's go get Montreal next week, boys.
Saturday night in Montreal, and some of the fans' comments not lost on quarterback Trevor Harris. He recognizes, yeah, they got to find a way to finish strong.
There's obviously some positive things to take away, but I'm sure you guys could probably guess that I'm not happy with the way that we finished the game offensively. If you want to be a championship caliber team, you've got to put the nail in the coffin. We didn't do that. We've done that in points this year, and we really played strong late in games this year. Today was not that, but there's obviously some positive things. Obviously, I don't think we gave up any sacks. You know, we moved the ball at will early throughout the game, the first 2.5 quarters. As you may guess, I'm just not too thrilled with the way we finished the game offensively. But that being said, I think this is a team that we can take a look in the mirror and get better.
I'll be honest with you. I'm just happy with the victory. And look, top of the West. Sitting pretty. Hey, some of those final minutes are nail biters, I know, but it adds to the drama and the fun of going to CFL. Hey, last night the Hamilton Tiger Cats beat the Lions 37-33. They're now 5-2 on the season, once again reclaiming first in the East. And the game, I'm telling you, if you've not yet Googled it or seen it on a sports highlight, this was an incredible catch by Robert Carter Jr. for the interception that has to be seen.
Mitchell, lots of time. What a catch by Carter.
Sports Center, get ready. Wow.
Oh, my God.
You got to be kidding me.
One hand.
Yeah, one-handed grab. That is the CFL play of the year, hands down right now, and has quickly become one of the most viral videos of the last 24 hours. Sure, hope you had a good weekend. I know I did a little of everything. I joined Evan and his lovely wife, Jody. We were out at their cabin near Abernethy on the weekend, and then Catepwa. And Saturday night, I walked across the street. We had a lovely time at my neighbor's. It was their 40th anniversary. And there were so many people there, but we all had something very much in common, and that was summer hasn't really felt like summer yet. Everyone seemed to be complaining between the occasional shower or rain and the smoke and haze that was bad last week. It doesn't feel like summer's really heated up yet. And joining me now is Taylor McPherson, who's filling in for Evan Bright today. Do you get that same feeling there? I know you're in our Saskatoon studios. Have you felt that at all, Taylor?
I was talking with some friends over the weekend about that exact thing. Just it hasn't really felt summery yet, but ultimately, we concluded, hey, at least we've still got all of August, and remember how nice last September was, so hopefully things can pick up a little bit. But yeah, I was up at the Nest Creek Music Festival a couple of weekends ago, and it didn't, you know, there were some years it was so scorching hot that, you know, you couldn't get out of the shade for 5 minutes, and this year was maybe even a little bit more pleasant. Thankfully, we didn't get a lot of that wildfire smoke, but between the smoke and the cooler temperatures in a lot of cases, yeah, it just hasn't really felt as summery as maybe it should, or maybe that's just a first world problem.
Yeah, it was a hot topic, though. Everyone seemed to be in agreement that they're ready for, you know, a bit of searing heat. I haven't had a conversation or two with a few of my farming friends at the party as well, and they all said, you know what, we need some heat now. They've been farming in pockets where there's been some pretty good rain. I know not everyone is in the same situation, but that seemed to be a common theme, too. Let it dry out a little here and be sunny. Now, Taylor, I hear you're an F1 fan, right? Were you watching F1 on the weekend?
I sure was, yeah. It was the Grand Prix at Spa, which is always an entertaining one. But they started out in the rain, and it was just a little bit too wet for them. So they did a couple of laps, and then they waved the red flag and waited for things to dry out. But it turned out to be a pretty exciting race, not the most thrilling one. This year has been a little bit of a mixed bag for Formula One, but I'm kind of excited that the movie seemed to have drawn some new fans into the sport in sort of the same way that Netflix series Drive to Survive did.
Well,
I mean, you get Brad Pitt on the big screen, it's going to get some people looking.
And did you see it?
I think it's got more fans. I haven't seen it myself yet. I'm kind of waiting until the season is over, but I'm pretty excited for to actually go out and check it out, because they did do a lot of filming at actual races,
yeah,
which is very cool. You don't see that often in sports movies.
Ryan Halata from the Kramer IMAX Theater is going to join me after the 8 o'clock news, and he was telling me earlier that F1 has been the most successful movie at the IMAX of all the blockbusters they've been hauling in. That's the one that they had the most business so far. In fact, they're bringing it back. It had left, but it's going to be back here in August as well, by popular demand.
I'm going to make the trip to see it on the proper IMAX screen. They're selling tickets already for this Odyssey movie too, the Christopher Nolan one with Matt Damon.
Sold out a year in advance, 4 showings, and it's crazy to me that so many people know what they're doing a year from now that they would buy theater tickets. But that's the case.
Get people interested in ancient Greek literature in the same way that the Formula One movie did for the sport.
Maybe. All right, let's see what's coming up on your show today.
We're kicking things off with Scott Maxwell. He's the CEO of Wounded Warriors Canada. Just a great organization, and he's in town for a special event, so we'll find out a little bit more about that. We're chatting with our business analyst, Paul Martin, as well. You've probably seen, Greg, that Premier Scott Moe is signing all these memorandums of understanding and trade agreements with other provinces. But, you know, unless the federal government gets on board, what is the impact going to be? So we'll find out a little bit more about that with Paul Martin. And we're actually chatting with James Bogus, a good friend of yours, head of the Regina Airport Authority, about this push to allow more foreign ownership in Canadian airlines and what the potential benefits might be for travelers. Because really, we're kind of stuck in Air Canada or WestJet, if you want to go with a domestic carrier here. So would it be a big difference in our air travel experience if things opened up a little bit more and maybe a couple of foreign airlines started to do some serious business here in Canada?
Yeah, it probably would open things up a little more. I just wish that these airlines could just get back to the days where you weren't having to wait 2 hours because there's not enough pilots to show up. Every flight I have taken in the last year to 2 years has had some sort of incident where pilots, there's not enough or there's a delay. It's just a mess right now. As much as I love to fly, you've got to plan accordingly. You need an extra day or two around your vacation plan because of delays. You really do.
Air travel, always a hassle. I guess it kind of always has been, but it seems like it's more and more of a pain these days. But I mean, still beats driving, but by how much, I guess, is the question.
All right. Okay, Taylor. Well, just today, right? I think Evan's back. You're only on today?
Yep, that's going to be it for me. And then Evan's back in the big chair tomorrow.
All right, Taylor McPherson, thank you so much for joining me. I appreciate it.